Hey, what's going on, everybody? You listen to Seggy Station. This man has a nickname always allowed to say with no shame. Monday, January 11th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. I got some company coming through today as well. Rich Hot Takes Letty coming through via StreamYard. Should be fire to catch up after a wild weekend of sports with my man Rich. Got to get into the wild card, souped up wild card weekend review. Little bit to touch on the national championship game, which you'll have tonight, Ohio State versus Alabama. And of course, got some NBA to discuss with my NBA phenom before he gets out. Looking forward to doing that today. Missing my man Chu. Hopefully he gets back through soon. Took his ass out in some bowling yesterday, so I assumed he wouldn't want to come by and see me 2 days in a row. Fired up to get in a sports conversation today. Definitely a lot going on in the world of sports. I'm looking forward to covering it right now. It's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. As always, appreciate all love and support. Give me a follow on my Instagram page at Seggy Station. Twitter page at Seggy Station, where I got my divisional round rankings up that I will get into here momentarily with Rich. Follow along on my Twitch stream, it's_Seggy_G, where we always have a live version up of the Twitch. We also have the podcast out on Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Radio Public. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Appreciate all love and support. Hopefully Rich is in here in a minute. Fired up to get into what he thinks happened yesterday. In the NFL, it was absolutely wild card weekend in the NFL. Had a bunch of great games take place. Had a few picks right, 4-2 on the week for me. Chewy's prediction of 41-6 for a Saints victory proved to be false, but it was kind of funny to watch some of the games with Chew this weekend. Talking some sports with a couple of dudes that we met. Shout out to Chew's brother Reed. Today's his birthday. Special shout out to Reed. Our annual bowling trip, which I took him out in bowling as well. So tough week year for the Sturmans on our third annual bowling trip. But the football was great. Excited to cover a lot of the football. The Bills got their first victory since 1995. They took care of the Colts 27-24. Rams picked up a victory 30-20 over the Seahawks. The Bucks took care of the Washington football team in what was turned out to be a really great game in the nightcap, 31-23. Yesterday, we had the Ravens and Lamar Jackson picking up his first playoff win, 20-13. The Saints 21-9 over the Bears. And in what was a very shocking but wild game, thrilling game to watch, got a shout out. The Cleveland Browns fans, 48-37 did the Cleveland Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. So there's obviously a lot to get to when it comes to wild card weekend. Will that be Big Ben's last game that we see him play, not only with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but potentially in the NFL? What's going on with Phillip Rivers? There's obviously a lot to discuss. Rich, what's good, kid?
Yo, what's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Long weekend of watching football. I saw someone say it on like ESPN too, but I felt the same way. Like that Colts Bills game feels like it was like 2 weeks ago right now, just from watching all those games.
Yeah, it was wild. A lot of good games this weekend. Let's touch on them here real quick. I wanted to touch on them for sure. That was the first game that took place. So Bills Colts 27-24. You know, Josh Allen, it was crazy for me because I thought he had a decent game. He had almost 360-something yards, 3 touchdowns. He didn't have any interceptions, but he probably should have had an interception. He almost fumbled away the game at the end with a mistake. Choose guy, Blankenship missed a field goal. So, and what was a 3-point game? Things could have swayed a lot differently, especially the way that game was handled at the end of the first half. I thought the Bills got away with some points there as well that they might have not had. So it was a wild game. They get a win. You got to feel good for Josh Allen, who gets his first win. It was wild where we saw the 2018 class yesterday, literally take out the entire 04 class minus Eli Manning because he's not in the league. It would have been sick, I heard, if he was starting for the Titans. All of them got knocked out in one game, and all of them probably should retire. Like, those guys should retire, Phillip and Big Ben. Like, Eli did it right. I think the both of those, we saw both of those guys get taken out by what we now see as good young quarterbacks. But I'd ask you, because we both, I believe, had the Bills making a run. Like, are you confident in the Bills being able to beat the Ravens, man? Like, I, you know, I'm high on the Bills, but they barely squeaked away. And what I thought was people were sleeping on the Colts. But, you know, do we think the Bills are going to be what they are going for? What do you think on that?
They're going to be some good matchups, man. Like, we're going to get into our top 8 teams and rankings in a little bit, I'd imagine. But I was going through it before we got on here, and specifically, I mean, granted, it's the last 8 teams, they're all good games. But that Bucks and Saints and, like, Ravens and Bills teams, it was tough for me to rank those teams and, like, who I was putting above each other. I still like the Bills a little bit better. We've seen some of the Ravens struggles, and, like, for me, even though I'm rooting for Lamar, we've seen his struggles, even though he's been young, a few years in a row now. And, like, I saw a lot of people, like, oh, like, he got that off his back, like, good now. Like, I mean, yeah, he beat the Titans. They're the worst defense in the NFL. Like, I'm not that I'm taking credit away from him, but I don't think that proves that he's just, like, good to go in the playoffs now. So if I had to give the benefit of the doubt to one team, it would probably be the Bills, just because I have a little more faith in their offense and Josh Allen running the show over there. But, like, that's not to take.
Here's the thing. Stephon Diggs, you said he was a little banged up. He had 6 receptions, 108 yards, and a touchdown. He's the reason they're going to win games. Josh Allen, 324, 58.4 rushing yards, 3 total touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over. That's the reason they're going to win games, that connection right there. Josh Allen not turning the ball over and making mistakes. I'm just curious to see if they can do it now up against a team like the Ravens, who's super hot, a team that could win a playoff game in advance now that he got that hump off his back in Lamar Jackson. So it'll be interesting to get through some of those rankings. But just specifically on this game here, do you think this was Phillip Rivers' last game? I definitely think it is. A lot of people talking potentially have him come back to the Colts. I don't see why. Like, if I'm the Colts, I'm looking at our season, the defense we had, the playmakers we had, and we're basically a quarterback short. Like, I just think that, and I love Phillip Rivers. I think he's played literally, he's had the most touchdown passes and most yards to not play in a Super Bowl. Like, you got to give it up to this guy for having a tremendous, what may be a Hall of Fame career. But I do believe this is how he should go out, which is not looking like he did this year, again next year, potentially ruining a team's chances to make a playoff run, and just in my opinion.
I mean, I agree. I feel the same about Big Ben. I mean, the tough part about Big Ben is I'm not going to sit here and say Phillip Rivers had a better year, because the Steelers were 11-0. Ben Roethlisberger did have a good start to the season, but Ben Roethlisberger literally, like, you know, people in the media like Matt Clark talk about that Tom Brady cliff. Ben Roethlisberger, not that he looked phenomenal in his prime all year, but hit some wild sort of cliff around, like, week 10, week 11, week 9 this year, where he just started missing wide open receivers. They were having issues with drops, but I guess I'm going to say I think Big Ben's done for sure.
Yeah, Big Ben.
Not that I think Phillip Rivers is better than Big Ben right now, but I almost give Phillip Rivers more of a shot to come back next year. Not saying he's better or will do better, just maybe that's just me and the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they're both probably done.
I've been hearing some takes on it. Like, Phillip Rivers was looking better than Big Ben towards the end of this season, and I would have to agree. And with the NFL talking of potentially going to 17 regular season games, and, you know, play a preseason game and then a playoff game, you're talking 19 games for this guy to have to play? Like, dude, these guys aren't going to be able to do that, in my opinion. And I think these guys should go. We'll talk about that game a little bit in a little bit, but I do want to touch on all the games. So let me start this bell and go into this. The Rams and the Seahawks. You were high on the Rams. I had the Rams at 6 on my original rankings, which I got some clout from some rando on Twitter, which I need to just tell him. I hope he listens to the pod. Hey, bro, that's why I had the Rams ranked at 6. Like, that defense is by far the best in the NFL. And they literally won the game, which I think Johnny Wolford, the Wolfpack, he could have won that game. But they won a game with a dude who literally couldn't even use his right thumb. And that's his throwing arm. And I would be – Cam Akers was unreal in this game. He had, like – he had 176 yards, 28 rushes. Jared Goff was 9-19, 55 yards and a touchdown. You win the game. You know what that tells? Jared Goff threw 155 yards, the most by any player off the bench in a playoff win since Jay Fielder's 172 for the Jags in a 62-7 win over the Dolphins in a 1999 division round. Like, that just doesn't happen. And then you go and look at some of the other stuff coming out of this game. Like, oh, let Russ cook. He was 11 of 27, 174. He had a garbage time touchdown, one pick, sack five times. Yeah, he had a no-look pass that was almost picked. He pretty much lost to Jared Goff with a broken thumb, in my opinion. So, clearly not 100%. Definitely was right about the Rams on that pick. I was 2 for 2 in the first two. I had the Bills and the Rams. I believe you did as well. So, we're starting off 2-0 to start the going through the review. What did you think of this game?
This is where I wish I haven't listened to a lot of, I kind of like not listening to a lot of ESPN or talk shows before coming on here because I don't want to just recycle what I've already heard. But I do wish I listened to a little bit more this morning to hear what they had to say on this game because, like, I don't really know what the deal with Russell Wilson is. And, like, granted, I'm not taking the Rams D for granted here. Like, they played him 3 times. Usually every time you play a team a second time and even a third time in the season, it gets lower scoring and lower scoring because you've seen them. And they were already low scoring in the first two, so I get that. But I expected a Rams win, even with a backup. I think I predicted that on here, but I expected Russell Wilson to look a little better. I even said in the group in there, I thought it would be low scoring too. But like he just, I don't know, man. I was stunned watching that.
Listen
game.
To this.
It was like you said, it was a garbage time touchdown. And other than that, there was nothing.
The Seahawks lost despite John Wolford getting knocked out and literally going to the hospital during the game. Jared Wolford replacing him, like I mentioned, with his messed up thumb. And Aaron Donald, I mentioned you, got injured in this game. Cooper Kupp towards the end of this game as well. Hopefully those guys can go in that next game because that's going to be huge. Donald wasn't even there the entire second half, dude. Like, there's no excuses if you're Seattle. And they just didn't look good offensively all year. Their defense had been better all year, and this improves Sean McVay to now 37-0 when leading at halftime in a football game. Jalen Ramsey, when guarding DK Metcalf in 3 games, 4 receptions, 44 yards, 11 total targets. Like, that's absolutely deadly. And like I mentioned, bro, that was Russell Wilson's second pick six in the playoffs, his first since 2015 divisional playoffs. Wilson's 3-5 in his playoff career when trailing by at least 10 points. And, you know, they were doing that basically the entire game. Like, they got outplayed the entire game. I didn't project them.
Was his pick six, just so I'm not confused, the dump off to the running back that just got picked?
It was a screen. It was a screen that got picked by Darius Williams, yeah. And he was pretty much trying to force it to DK Metcalf because he was having a freak out. I mean, Cam Akers, he had 142 scrimmage yards. That's the most by any player in the first half of a playoff debut in Super Bowl era. Since 1966, the previous mark was Alfred Jenkins in 1980 with 133. You look at some of these other stats that Cam Akers put up by the end of the game. He had the third most scrimmage yards by a Rams rookie in playoff game history. He's just the third Rams rookie to reach 100 scrimmage yards, joining Torrey Holt and Eric Dickerson. So, like, some of the stuff that Cam Akers was doing was incredible, and he had to because you had a quarterback with one arm and you just think or one hand and you think like the Seahawks would have been able to like pick up on this. I don't know if this says more about their defense or what this man Cam Akers is where they're trying to make this run. But I will say like I saw that Jamal Adams played the game with like a messed up shoulder and an injury and he's going to have surgery on potentially both shoulders. That's a tough word to get out right now, but literally like I don't know. I really don't know how the Seahawks look that bad, and I think they got a lot to think about over this offseason. All right, so let's get into the nightcap, because you had a guy and what?
The last thing I'll say before we move on from that game is you shouldn't be having a temper tantrum if you're DK Metcalf on the sideline, but I do get the extent of, like, dude, I'm maybe the most physically dominant and one receiver and one of the best receivers in the league right now. We have one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. And they had thrown, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I think it was with 4 minutes left in the first half, they'd thrown 4 passes. I know the Rams have a good defense, but if I were DK Metcalf, I'd be over there too. Like, hey guys, are we trying to win the game? Or are we trying to win like a 7-7 game? Or are we trying to score some points here? Like, can we throw the ball a little bit? Even if it's not to me, you want to throw the ball a little? Like, it was a gross game to start. And I know there's more that goes into that. The Rams had a good defense and he shouldn't be throwing a fit, but it was a little bit like, yo, let's try and get the best players on the team the ball. Like, put the ball in Russ's hands, let him throw it a little bit.
But I mean, yeah, but like when you're getting locked up by Jalen Ramsey, like you probably shouldn't be, he's probably having a fit because he's getting locked up by Jalen Ramsey.
Sure. And I'm just saying they weren't throwing it all in the first half.
Yeah. I mean, Russ was not, whatever. I don't want, they're eliminated. That's it. They're out.
Yeah.
The Washington football team is eliminated, but they put up a fight, man. Taylor Heinicke. I'm calling him Taylor Heinicken. He was out of the XFL, St. Louis Battlehawks backup a month ago. He was taking classes at Old Dominion, working on his degree. He threw 311 yards, going up against Tom Brady and the Bucks, who ended up winning the game. 31-23 was the final on that. Here's the thing. You got to now rematch with the Saints if you're a guy like me that's like, all right, let's see Brady do anything against a team that's going to be, like, good. All right, here's a team that's good. If he beats this team, maybe I can put it up and shut up a little bit. But, dude, you beat the Washington football team barely with a guy who is a fourth-string quarterback, not even in the league. Duke trying to tell me he's getting a contract now or going to be the starter there. Like, nah. Tom Brady is an all-time leader in total passings. Passings with 581 and Drew Brees with 571. According to Elias Sports, next week in division playoff game would be the first time in NFL history that the top two career leaders in touchdown passes will meet in the playoffs. So it's going to be epic. A third time, you mentioned it. Teams that have done that in a NFL history 22 times. 14 of those have gone on to get swept. That's what I'm going to see. The Saints sweep the Bucs in this situation. But just looking at this game, you think Tyler Heinicke is going to have a shot at being a second string. I don't think he's going to be a starter in this league. And did that not say, in my opinion, and I get Tom Brady's beaten 17 different teams in the playoffs. You know, he's beaten more teams than any QB has total wins. Like, some of the stuff he has for these accolades are ridiculous. But to me, it's going to come down to a better team with a better defense and a better offense all around. Let's see what they can do this week, and then maybe we'll be able to discuss a little more about that. But curious what you thought about this game. It was pretty close.
I mean, they fought, man. He looked really good. I think the most interesting thing, as you said a little bit, is like where is he going to be playing next year? Is he going to be there? Like, I compared it to, this might be a terrible comparison, but whenever I see something like this, a player doing really well on their team in a small sample size, like, there was some reason, I'm sure. Well, granted, Dwayne Haskins was there. There were other backups, but they've seen this dude in practice, and I'd imagine they think he's good, but I'd imagine they know he's not as good as what they just saw right there. That's what happens a lot of times. Like, the team that has a guy like this is like, all right, we've seen this guy a bunch. That was incredible. He's not that good, but he's really good. And then another team comes in with a bunch of money, overpays him, and he goes somewhere else. It's the Jeremy Lin effect in the NBA. That's kind of what I would expect to happen here. I bet the Washington football team will want to keep him, but I just imagine someone's going to miss out on a QB in the draft or free agency and just throw a little bit of money at him because of recency bias and how good he looked in their last game. And he looked really good, not taking any credit away from him. Like, he made what should have been the grossest game to watch, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was like, I know Washington has a good defense, but it truly wouldn't have surprised me if that was like a 20, basically what the Brown Steelers was, like a 28-0 game in the first half or something like that. Like, would not have surprised me. And he turned that into a great game. Like, Washington defense is to play there too. But I give him credit. I hope he has a starting job next year, or at the very least is in serious contention for one. I mean, football team put together a way more competitive game than I thought. Brady had another solid game, and I know we're not on it yet, but Saints and Bucks. I think that's one of the hardest ones to predict next week.
Yeah, hopefully we can get you on later in the week. We'll do predictions and talking about the divisional round weekend later in the week. But you talked about the Washington football D, which I've talked about many a times, and Chase Young with his comments, and Chase Young with only two QB hurries, zero QB knockdowns, and zero sacks was a bit interesting to me. Washington defense literally blew that game. Like, they put up 23 points, and I talked about it. All they had to do was hold them under 20, you win the game. They would have. The defense, in my opinion, what looked great all year for that team, blew that game, and Chase Young, in the limelight a little bit, got shut down by a guy who has way more experience than him, clearly. Tough loss for the Washington football team, but we'll see what the Bucks can do next week. All right, so then it was...
I think holding them to 31 wasn't bad. Like, that's a high-powered offense. Like, I know Washington's a good defense, but I thought they put together, like, a respectable game for what people thought.
I guess. I mean, when you have four out of the six underdog road teams win this weekend, like, they were right there. They probably should have won that game, in my opinion, if the defense played what we saw them play all year, which was not that in that particular game in the biggest moment. So, to Chase Young, like I mentioned, put in a lot of checks he couldn't cash, not only for himself, but for the rest of his defense, and you're going home. And that's why I feel like players shouldn't be out here saying type of stuff like that before these big games. Wait until after the fact.
I agree. If you're gonna say something like that, you got to make it like a one-on-one thing with a guy like you're going up with, like a wide receiver and a cornerback. Like one defender calling out one of the best quarterbacks of all time is like, damn, dude, the whole rest of the defense has to deal with this guy too, and they're not all Chase Young.
Okay, yeah, which is actually an interesting conversation to lead into the first game that happened yesterday, because the Ravens did win 20-13, and Lamar Jackson picks up his first win. He had 136 yards rushing and a touchdown. He pretty much turned a sack into a 46-yard touchdown run. It was incredible. Lamar Jackson won his game that he needed to get that monkey off his back. Okay, great. Let's see what he can do next week. We'll talk about it. But them dancing on the logo after the fact, because back in week 11, the Titans danced on their logo, brought a lot of controversy to the, obviously, media, you know, after the fact. You have a problem with that, Rich? I didn't. I mean, they did that in week 11. Lamar Jackson gets a win. Yeah. That you did that to them. I mean, you're taunting their coach in week 11. I don't know what you expect them to do. What, come shake your hand after you're doing that type of disrespectful shit? Like, I don't have a problem with people not doing that when people are disrespectful. But, like, with the, you know, if all that stuff is cool, then you probably should go shake your hand and not be a bad sport. But they were clearly disrespectful to them, so I don't understand why it's a problem not giving it back.
I don't think it's a problem on either side. It was obviously way more disrespectful the first time, a little less disrespectful when you're just retaliating. But either way, it's like, I don't know. People always want it both ways. People, like, complain about teams doing stuff and like, oh, that's not sportsmanlike. And then when it's like the NBA, it's like, oh, they're too buddy-buddy. They're not going at each other. Like, shut up. People, I'm not saying you, just like, you know, shut up. People, let the teams compete. Like,
it's fine. You can tell me to shut up. One way or the other. You can tell me to shut up, but seriously, the Ravens win the game. It was sweet. The Ravens have 1,573 rushing yards in their last six games, and according to Elias Sports, that's the most in a six-game span, including playoffs, since the 1949 Eagles, 1,600, who won the NFL championship that year. So it'll be interesting to see if they can stay hot, potentially knock off the Bills, which I think are potentially vulnerable up against a hot team, a hot guy like Lamar Jackson, who joins Colin Kaepernick as the only QBs in Super Bowl era with 100 rushing yards and a rushing TD in a playoff game. And I all talked about what he did all season, basically since he got back from COVID. Bro, on December 2nd, they were 6-5, and everyone talked about them being done. They went on to win five straight games, and to me, they're the hottest team right now in that side of the bracket. We'll see if they can take down the Kansas City, the Buffalo Bills, I'm sorry. It'll be set next Saturday night. The Saints-Bears, we could talk about that real quick by the end of this bell. The only thing that I thought was important to mention is if you're an NFL player, you cannot drop that pass that literally changed the entire game, in my opinion. You weren't going to win anyways, but dropping a pass that Mitch Trubisky probably made it the best throw of his career in that moment where he's constantly getting shit on and you just let it go right through the middle of your basket was depressing, and I'd be stunned if that guy has a job going forward. But the Saints won 21-9, and I was right about that game. I was wrong about the football team, and I was right about the Ravens win. I ended up being 4-2. How did your picks actually hand out in total?
I got to go back and try look at these and remember what I – see, my only thing is we'd have to go back to the tape. I don't officially remember who I predicted on the Rams or the Seahawks. I think I said the Rams because you both said the Seahawks, but I'm not sure if I –
Nah, I said the Rams, bro. I picked the Rams.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if I gave a case for them because Chewy was picking Seahawks so strongly or if I actually picked them. So I truly don't remember what my pick was there. But I had Ravens right, Bucks right, Saints right. And I think I picked the Steelers but did the same thing, like gave the Browns a path to winning but didn't pick them. So I would have gone 4-2 as well.
Nice. Keeping it right with me. Yeah, Derrick Henry had a brutal game, dude. He had 18 rushes for 40 yards. Like, they're not going to win when he does that.
Who'd you say?
Derrick Henry? He had a brutal game. Yeah. And, yeah. I know we were on to the next game, but, like, the Bears, dude, what do you expect? I think Matt Nagy should be gone. I think Mitch Trubisky should not be the guy, and, like, they're going to have to do, like, a rebuild. Like, if you want my honest opinion on the Bears, like, they shouldn't even have been there, by the way. Like, if Kyler Murray was healthy, they probably would have potentially gotten in or, you know, whatever. Like, they got in on one of the weakest ways.
I think everyone can agree that would have been way more fun to have the Cardinals in there over the Bears. That was the game I felt the most comfortable with. Like, even though you might not stomp out the Bears because they have a decent, pretty good defense, I feel like that's the game most people would have felt the most confident with, just flat out picking the other team and picking the Saints.
Yeah.
That's the one I watched the least of because the Nickelodeon broadcast was just driving me crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So I ate some dinner during that one and missed the end of that game, but watched all the other five.
Yeah, Drew Brees, 28-39, 265, two tutties, 25 touches and 116 total yards and a touchdown for Kamara. Michael Thomas was back. He had like 100 yards. So I think the Saints are going to take care of the Bucs for sure. We'll get into it for sure at the end of the week. But let's touch on the last game before we get into how we're ranking the last eight, which was obviously, I think, the biggest shocker, but also the most stunning. So 4 seconds into the game, you're down 7-0. 4 minutes into the game, you're down 14-0, and the Browns put up the most points in a first quarter in NFL playoff history with 28. So you're down 28-0 before you can even start the game. Talking all kinds of shit, resting your players, and Baker Mayfield throughout the game had 62% completion percentage, 263, and three touchdowns with no interceptions. He shut up the haters. And I know Ben Roethlisberger had 501 yards, I think it was, but you had four interceptions. I don't want to hear any of that garbage yards that you had to keep the game close. You were out of the game since it started. So it was a shocker. I mean, I was wrong because I thought the Browns would be affected by it not having their coaches there, but it didn't matter when you're up 28-0 in the first quarter. Like, if you blow that, that's on your players, not your coaches not being there.
They almost did,
right? But here's the thing. Couple questionable coaching decisions, not only one by Mike Tomlin, but another by Mike Vrabel. Punting in fourth down and two for the Titans. It was like late fourth quarter, down by only a score. Down by 12, I believe, was the situation for Mike Tomlin, punting on 4th and 6 when they had all the momentum coming back. Cleveland Browns fans, I'm sure, and he punted into the end zone, which was even worse. So I'm just not so sure why I didn't not pick against the Steelers, because I was on the Steelers. I told you, I'm like, bro, they're going to lose at least three games on the way out. You looked at me, you're like, oh, man, they ended up losing four. They lost four out of their last five, and they looked horrible. Big Ben's been looking horrible. I predicted the Browns should have beaten this team for sure. I was just a little bit shell-shocked by the moment, Kevin Stefanski not being able to be there. And it ended up not even mattering because now he's going to be able to come back. Are they having a chance to beat the Chiefs? I doubt it, but that's incredible for their fan base, their organization, for not getting a win since 1995, which, by the way, I was a year old. Some of the stuff going on in 1995, Bill Belichick was the head coach of the Browns. Dumb and Dumber, number one movie. Simpson trial was 3 weeks away. Seinfeld was the number one TV show. Pogs were the number one toy. What the hell is that? Baker Mayfield wasn't even born yet. So, like, you got to shout out the Cleveland Browns fans. They've been waiting a long time for this, and they're obviously ecstatic beating a division foe. But I think this says a lot about the Steelers, too. Mike Tomlin, he's always known for being a great coach, but in his eight playoff losses under Tomlin, 48 points, 45 points, 36 points, 23 points, 30 points, 29 points, 31 points, 31 points. Those are the points that they have allowed in those games. His team was favored in four of those games. So I'm just not so sure. I know he's got the Super Bowl, but, oh, man, Big Ben's done. Tomlin not prepared in this game at all, in my opinion, their entire team. This was a crazy game.
Yeah. So it's hard. I'm not going to say we all should have known, we should have seen this coming, because first off, last week of the season, the Browns barely beat the Steelers that were undermanned. So a lot of people, myself included, when we were on here, are going to go off that and be like, well, they barely beat them. Steelers had nothing to play for. We're resting a lot of their guys. Like, they got this when they come back next week, especially when you factor in the Browns missing their coach, who factored into a lot of their success this year since they weren't having it last year with a lot of the same players. So I'm not going to say we should have seen that coming necessarily. But what I will say is the Steelers still could be the better team. But when you get off to a start like that, it's so hard to like actually play your game. And the Steelers game is passing this year. Like, they did very little running. So I guess in theory, they still were playing their game. But it's so hard to come in and have the game plan you wanted to have when you're starting off 1 second into the game, 7-0 when you thought you had the ball. Then there's that Landry touchdown. Like, all of a sudden you're down 21-0. And it was literally like, you're just playing desperation mode when you're still like halfway through the first quarter. So I'm not excusing them for that. I'm just saying I still don't think it's crazy to think they were the better team, and just the Browns got off to like a 0.01% chance start that they'll ever have and got off to an amazing start. And like you said, it's hard to lose that lead once you get it.
For sure.
They had so much momentum. And you heard the announcers say it, like, they said it like the end of the third quarter, like, hey, I don't know how to describe momentum, but you know it when it's happening. And the Steelers were on like a run on the Browns.
Yeah.
That was when I was watching. I was like, the Browns are going to blow this. I was like, the Browns are going to blow this, and this is going to be one of the worst losses ever. And I won't blame Tomlin. I was having a discussion with one of my buddies from work today. He was blaming Tomlin for a lot of this stuff last night, which I wouldn't have been as hard on him, because not that he's absolved anything, but like I said before, how can you play your game when you're like coming in on your players not executing on the first few plays and just immediately going down 14-0, 21-0? But what I will get on him for, the one thing I was going to say is, like, again, I didn't watch all the highlights this morning, didn't have a chance to watch ESPN, but I think it was like 4th and 1, maybe with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they were down like 12 or something, and you run it or you pass it, you go for it right there, and they punted it off. I was like,
yeah, wow. I just told you about that.
Yeah, you were I know you went over it, and I was just sitting there like, you have to be so confident that you're going to stop them on like a 3 and out.
I was listening to Nick Wright today, and I hate a lot of his takes, but I was on him on that might have been the worst punt in NFL history. Like, that was one of the most cowardly punts in NFL history, in my opinion, too. Like, if you're the coach of a team, like, if you're, like, that's tough, man.
I didn't watch football, like, my whole life. Like, I started watching football a lot, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 4 years ago, and, like heavy, like, DraftKings, fantasy, everything, like, 3-4 years ago. So sometimes when I see something really stupid, I assume, like, I just don't know, and there's some logic to it. But I was literally looking at the game, and I was like, I know Mike Tomlin's a good coach, but I can't figure out why in the world you're not going for it right here. Like, trying to do out of math, like, how many points they need to score, like, how much time the Browns are about to take off. It literally just made zero sense at all. So,
no.
Terrible, terrible move on his part.
Well, I do need to shout out Baker Mayfield. He had 21 of 34, 263, and 3 touchdowns, like I mentioned, but 115.2 passer rating. He did have an interception, I believe, right? One interception, so... you know, he played a great game, though. He played a fantastic game. He did enough for them to win the game. Their first playoff game, like I mentioned, since 1995, and I was really hard on him. And I don't think they're beating the Chiefs, but if they have any chance, it's going to come down to, obviously, him playing well. So if he's playing like that, I'm not saying they're going to have a chance, but if they're putting up 48 points, they might, giving the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise record most points they've given up. That's just a tough day. When I look back at, like, after the first round of the playoffs being done, I always like go, whose fan base is like hurting the most today and like doesn't want to wear their stuff around and have to talk about what happened? It's definitely the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're gonna have to hear about it for a year. When I look at the other end of it, like, which team won and probably shouldn't be out flaunting, that's an interesting one for me.
Shouldn't be out flaunting?
Yeah, that's an interesting one for me.
The Browns are the ones that should be out.
It's, yeah. Oh, definitely. To me, it's between the Bucks and the Bills. I'd probably go Bucks because the Bills haven't won a game since playoff game since 1995. So pretty similar to the fucking Browns. But I'd probably be Bucks because you beat a fourth string quarterback, a guy that no one. I don't know.
What I'll say is their fans might be celebrating, but I don't think the Bucks themselves are celebrating that with Brady there. I don't think at the locker room there's any chance they're in there like, yeah, let's go. They're like, no, this is step one. Like, I could be wrong, but I feel like any locker room Brady's in is going to be at least a little more Spurs-esque than locker rooms where, like, you're not celebrating the games that matter until they really, really matter.
Yeah, no, and it is wild because the Browns, literally, they're out, obviously, with their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, who was watching the game in his basement, had to celebrate afterwards in the locker room on FaceTime. All-pro guard Joel Petonio, who was their longest tenure player who wasn't able to play in the game, and now he gets to play in a playoff game probably because they get an extra game after a win. Then you got guys out, cornerbacks Denzel Ward, Kevin Johnson, had a wide receiver out with COVID, had a guy calling plays for the first time since 2009, had a guy never coaching before in the NFL. I mean, just an incredible story, man, and it's obviously what I love about sports. Get into your 8 ranked playoff teams that remain divisional rankings.
Yeah.
I want to hear
this.
Whatever you decide is good with me.
All right, where is it? I'm pulling it up since I can't find it right now. I will start at the top. Oh, no, here we go. I'll start at the bottom. So last, and this is tough because, like, you feel bad doing it. Because
it's fine.
They're all 8 good teams left. But for me, it was between the Rams and the Browns for the last spot. I went with the Browns in the last spot only, and this isn't really an indictment on them, just it more has to do with who they're playing next round. I'm kind of ranking the teams, and it's, I give them such a small shot to win playing the Chiefs. So, like, I was torn on who to go with the Rams and the Browns, and that was basically my deciding factor. It's like, the Browns are about to go up against the Chiefs right there. So
okay, let me just say this before you finish off the rest of your rankings. Yeah. The way I do rankings is, like, right now in the current moment. Like, not projecting out, not looking back, but, like, right now in the current moment of what I just saw and what is going on.
Okay, still, you're saying don't even factor in who they're playing next week?
No, definitely not, because you're going to go into your predictions prediction what the Chiefs are going to beat the Browns, like, which is mine. But, like,
fine.
Then my rankings aren't going to...
With that in mind, I probably would put the Browns 7th and the Rams 8th on the list then, only because the quarterback situation's up in the air.
Okay.
Seattle's just been a question for the last few weeks, so I'm not even though it's a good win when you think, like Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson, like, they haven't been playing great the last few weeks. I'm not going to hype the Rams up off that, even though they do have a great defense. So I'd probably go Rams 8,
all right.
Browns 7. I'm going the Ravens 6 for the reasons I said before. They played the Titans. Like, I'm not going to just believe that, like, Lamar Jackson's figured it out in the playoffs and, like, they're good to
go. Bro, you told me that the Titans were a team that can make a run. And now you're telling me they just beat the Titans.
They could, but I'm not going to hype up Lamar because he was able to perform against the worst defense. The Titans' offense and Derrick Henry didn't perform as I thought they would. But I'm not going to say, like, oh, Lamar's good to go. Ravens are good to go because they beat up on the Titans.
Fair.
That would be my point there. So fair. I'm putting the Ravens there. 4-5 was tough because it's Saints or Bucks for me. And it was basic. And I feel like I'm going to be held to this next week. So I feel like in theory, this is me picking who I have winning the game next week, even though we're not really factoring that.
You're 100% going to be held to this. Yep.
So I have the Bucks at 5 and the Saints at 4. I'm not going to lie, I don't feel super strongly about that. I tend to not bet against Brady and LeBron and guys who have just shown they're always going to be there in it, but the Saints got their pieces back. Both teams went against good defenses in Washington and Chicago last week, but the Saints kind of beat up on Chicago a little bit there, at least from the final scoreboard at the end. I'm going to go the Saints, but again, I don't feel strongly about that 4-5. You could convince me either way. I'd imagine you have the Saints ahead of the Bucks too, if I had to guess. And the top three, I know I'm going to have different from you here. So I got the Chiefs at number one. That's nothing crazy. I'd say most people have that. The Bills looked really good. I know that's one of your top picks, but I'm not going to put them at number one quite yet. The little bit of struggles in the game that we alluded to earlier in the podcast. I got the Packers at 2 and the Bills at 3. And that was another tough call right there. And you could dig into this a little bit because this is where I did it different than you. My thing was I was basically thinking, like, hey, the Bills are going to have the tiebreaker between them. The Bills are going to have to play the Chiefs before the Super Bowl. The Packers are not. So that's how I basically did my tiebreaker there. But if we're not factoring that in, I really have them tied at 2. I don't have much of a stance to break up the Bills and the Packers. I just went Packers 2, Bills 3, because Bills are going to have to play the Chiefs sooner than the Packers would.
All right, so I got the Bills at 1. It sounds crazy, but that's what I've had for the past couple of weeks because I do think the Bills could potentially just have a run this year, make it to the Super Bowl, and who knows what happens even though I have them losing the Super Bowl. I then have the Packers at 2 because I do think Lambeau, home field advantage, Aaron Rodgers only won a Super Bowl the only time the playoffs has gone through Lambeau. I think the Packers, and we'll see this week if they're for real going up against that Rams defense, I think the Packers are the second best team if they can hold out and win those games at home. I'd have the Chiefs then at 3. It's not that I'm worried about the Chiefs winning games. I think they'll beat the Browns, but I am worried about what I saw with that first snap from Pouncey and then Roethlisberger being out, which is you rest players a little bit, and I'm not saying that the Chiefs are going to go and look as bad as the Steelers did last night, but I do think that resting players could come back to haunt you on playoff runs, especially trying to ramp up playoff football 21 days taking a break. So I'm just going to have to wait and see what's good. I know they have what on paper and what everyone says is the best team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won everything. But I have seen in the past things getting messed up before that. I'd have the Rams at 4. And the reason why is because if they can have anything out of the quarterback position, what I saw from Cam Akers in that defense, they are, in my opinion, going to be one of the last four teams standing. They got to win one more game to be that, right? They're going to obviously have to take out Aaron Rodgers to do that. And not that I'm saying that I'm going to potentially be picking the Rams, because I do have the Packers going up against the Bills in the Super Bowl. But I'm definitely really worried about that game for the Packers, and I'm definitely really worried about the Ravens and Bills game. But I'm going to save that for the pod later in the week. Then to get after the top four, I would go Saints 5. I think Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara back, that defense. If they can have Trey Hendrickson in this game up against the Tampa Bay Bucks, I believe they'll take care of business there at home and advance on in this playoffs. I think the Saints have the best coach in the NFC and potentially the best roster in the NFC as well when you look head-to-toe, both offensive, defensive side of the ball, including their coach. I think this team is the fifth best. I then have the Ravens at 6. I think Lamar Jackson and what they're doing, not only rushing the ball, but what they did on the defensive side of the ball to the Titans, not only with Derrick Henry rushing, but only holding them to, 20 points or 13 points. Like, I think the Ravens defense, people are sleeping on it. John Harbaugh's always preached defense. John Harbaugh's first win this weekend was his first playoff win in 6 years. So it's crazy to even think about how good of a coach. They almost gave up on this guy. He's now finally winning playoff games again. I think the Ravens are the hottest team in the playoffs right now, and I would not be surprised if they upset the Bills. The Browns would be then 7, leaving the Bucks at 8. And the reason why I have the Bucks at 8, let's get into this real quick. I know you're going to get real hot about this. Let me tell you why I have the Bucks at 8, bro. Let me tell you why.
Oh, I already know why.
They're not going to be able to rise on these rankings until they beat an actual good team. Like, okay, I thought the football team would have maybe gave a better defensive effort and had a better chance to win this game because of that. They were still in the game without a better defensive effort, which was just mind-boggling to me. Like, and I know Brady has all these yards and all these milestones, and we always talk about it. It's incredible. It's great. He's doing stuff that when you see Ben Roethlisberger at the age of 38 and Tom Brady's 5 years older than him, that's crazy. They put up a picture on social media of this old man that threw a touchdown, the oldest with Tom Brady. The dude looked like he's 75 years old, bro. Like, he's smoking mad bogeys, and Tom Brady's looking like he's 23. So it's absolutely crazy what this guy's doing. But it's going to come down to you playing a good football team. And in my opinion, over the past month and a half, including your first playoff game, also arguably the football team shouldn't even have been there, in my opinion. Play a good football team. This weekend, you will play one, and we'll see what happens then. That's why I'd have them ranked 8th. If you go and look back 5 weeks from now, they have not played any good football teams. They have not good any good records against good football teams. And yeah, Brady got a good, finally got a win at night. He took the cucumbers off his eyes. But here's the thing, bro. I just don't see them breaking through. And when I look at all the teams, I think all the teams left in the NFL playoffs, only 8 left, they're all really good. I think defensively, the Bucs have the worst defense out of all those, out of all the 8 teams left. So that's why I'd have them there at 8. I think it's pretty valid, even though it seems like a hot take. I think it's valid. And we'll see if they do anything this week. I would not be surprised if they lose, though. I mean, they got beat pretty hardcore by them a couple times. I know the odds of that happening 3 times are slim to none, but I would not be surprised. The Saints own their number. It's at home, and Tom Brady is going to be playing a much better defense and an offense that can put up points without the thought of them not being able to. It'll be interesting for sure. Go ahead.
I mean, I put the Saints above the Bucks too, so I'm not necessarily arguing that part as much. And a good part for the Saints is the Bucks have a good defense in stopping the run, which on the surface sounds good because one of the Saints' best players is Alvin Kamara, but he does a lot of his damage through the pass, not the run, even though he's the running back. So it's a tough spot for the Bucks for sure, and that's why they've lost this year. So I'm not necessarily arguing that. It's just tough for me. I had a feeling it was coming on your list. That's why I started cracking up laughing that they were going to be behind the Browns. And to be fair,
they should be.
It's not that crazy. It's not that crazy to me. The only reason I wouldn't put it that way is because, like I said before, the Browns got off to like a 1 percentile start, like less than a 1 percentile start. Like, they'll never get off to a start like that again, which is why. And part of that's the Steelers' fault. Part of that's them playing a good game. But it's just tough.
Hey, Rich.
Even though they, even though they beat the Steelers to like put them way high up there past Brady, past some other teams in the rankings, when I don't have faith in them coming out that way next game, and I think they're going to have to play like a 0-0 from the start game.
For sure, but Rich, I would say this. I would have had the Browns ranked higher on my rankings going into the playoffs if they had their coach and stuff. Like that was right now, right what's going on. Like, you have no coach, no play. Like, to me, that dropped them a little bit, and I was proven wrong on that. I think they deserve now getting their coach back, getting some of their players back. With that performance we saw, I mean, they deserve to be up there in the rankings. They've beaten better playoff caliber teams than the Bucs have. Go ahead.
You're right. I've been on here for actually multiple weeks now saying that they might, as crazy as it sounds, be the best matchup for the Chiefs in the AFC. I think I've said that like 5 or 6 times.
For sure. If they can run the ball,
we're going to see. We're going to see.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
But it's just, dude, for me, honestly, the more we talk about it, the more I'm like thinking it's not that crazy of you to rank them that way. Just for me personally, it's tough for me to put a team with as many good players and players that are proven, especially your main guy with the ball in Brady, under the Browns, who we saw just, I'm not saying it's a fluky victory, just you're never going to win that way again in one of the next few games in these playoffs. Like, it's going to be more of a, you know, from the jump, 0-0, 7-0 game, something like that. Not where you're just like coasting from the first quarter on.
The only thing that was fluky was that the dude snapped it over his head and Big Ben was too much of a pussy to dive on it. It would have been a safety and no problem. It wouldn't have been, or whatever. Like, they might have had the ball back. He might have gotten his feet down at the one. He didn't dive on it. He's a fucking pussy for that. And I think he should be out of the league. Here's my thing, though. That was the only fluke play. The rest of it, they were just picking him off because he's sucking. That's not fluke, bro. That's defense just sucking.
Let me clarify.
Sucking on Big Ben, not doing well.
That was not that the win was fluky. I was just saying, like, they won't get off to a start like that in the sense that, like, you get the 7 points, like you said. Pittsburgh has a 3-and-out. Then you get, like, a huge, like, I don't know what it was, like a 50-yard Jarvis Landry touchdown. Yep. Pittsburgh has a 3-and-out. Then you get, like, a huge Nick Chubb run. Then there's a pick six, and it's just, like, those aren't events that can't happen again, but the odds of them all happening in like an 8-minute span while the other team isn't scoring is down low. But like overall, I've actually come more on your side as we've been talking about this, because like I was so high on the Browns all year and like nothing's changed other than they didn't have their coach last week and they pummeled the Steelers. So it is tough to put them lower. I think it's fair. I think it's fair to have the Bucs last.
All right, word. I want to get your pick on the national title tonight, and then I want to get in the NBA before you get out of here. I know you got to go soon. So I'm starting to bell for this. What do you got in the game tonight? Who are you liking in the game tonight?
I know nothing about either team.
Let me just say this. Hold on before you go. The only time I remember watching national, like the first Final Four, I think it was the first Final Four, and it was a party because it's always around New Year's, and we were at your girlfriend's place. And so I don't normally watch the games, but obviously I'll be watching to, you know, be able to talk about it a little bit. But go ahead.
So in preparation for this, because I assumed it would come up, I was looking at DraftKings for NBA and stuff tonight. And DraftKings does have a section for college football and college basketball. So I took a look at the college football one game slate tonight for DraftKings just to look through some guys, see what they've been doing so that I had at least some idea. I'm not going to spout out any stats or names because I really don't know much about college football, but just looking through it, I mean, it looks like it's pretty tough not to pick Alabama to win the game. I'm trying to pull up one of the lines now. I saw a few lines earlier. But
yeah, the over-under is 76. Oh, that's what I want to ask you. You think it's going to be over-under 76? It's the highest ever.
76, 35.
Highest ever.
Trying to see what the score in some of like Alabama, like in their last game was against Notre Dame.
Well, I got the under,
but you got to imagine
I got the under in this.
Going to be scoring a little more. I'd probably go the under, but 70. Yeah, that's so crazy.
I got the under in this.
76. You need like a 45-35, like 30 game.
Yeah.
45-32. You need like,
I think Bama's going to route him out, bro. I think Bama's going to route him out. I think Bama's going to beat them big time.
I mean, I don't see how you don't pick Bama. I was, for some reason, ESPN isn't showing it to me right now, but I was looking earlier. The spreads were crazy on it. Like, I mean, it's almost maybe even a better question to pick on the spread.
They have Devontae Smith. I talked about him going back a few pods. He won the Heisman, first wide receiver to do so since 1991. His stats are incredible. They have a first player, first team ever to have a rusher with 20 touchdowns and a receiver with 20 touchdowns in the same season. They had three guys finish in the top five for Heisman votes, and they have five all pros on both sides of the ball. They're called AP, not All Pros. Whatever they are, their team is so much better, and their coach is obviously better.
Them covering.
What's the spread?
10.5
Yeah, Alabama. For sure. I got Bama winning by 21.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I got Bama winning by 21. I think Justin Fields is banged up. I think he'll be able to obviously play. He wants to play, but I think it's going to be a factor when you're getting banged up again by Bama. Who knows if he'll be able to finish the game out. The defense is unreal. They have the best team. And let me tell you this. Let me tell you a crazy stat on Bama, Rich. Nick Saban's been there for 14 years. They played for a national championship 8 of those years. So more than half the time, he's going to play for a national championship. He's going for his 7th trophy tonight. I mean, it's just incredible. What do you expect? Their team is way better. In my opinion, Ohio State shouldn't even be there. That's a whole other conversation, and Chewy gets real mad at me about it. But I think they should. I don't even think they deserve to be there, bro. That you got backdoored into a Big Ten championship game, yeah, where you shouldn't even have been there. The whole thing with COVID, I mean, it's a joke. And they played pretty much five less games in Bama, which I think is a factor. So if the game is close, that's the only reason it will be close, in my opinion, because that other team has played way more games than you. So in my opinion, it's all messed up because of that too. But I hope Bama just beats the shit out of them, to be completely honest. I really hope it's a blowout.
You should be betting on the game, because I actually just looked, and that's one of the highest lines, because different sites and different places put out different lines, and 10.5 is actually the highest I see. I see a lot of them with like 8.5. I see some even down to 7. Yeah, looks like you're way above that. But yeah, looks like, I don't know, Alabama's favored by a good bit, but seems like you are expecting almost triple the spread.
Love it. Love it, kid. And I'm taking the under. You got the under as well? Under 76, yeah, the highest spread ever in a college football game?
I mean, I don't watch a lot of college
football. Highest spread ever in a college football game.
I know it's higher scoring than the NFL, but that just seems insane.
That's crazy. If they hit the over on that game, it's going to be one hell of a game. I'll be watching to see what's good. I do want to get in the NBA before you got to go, though. So, the Celtics and the Heat were postponed. It was the second game that was postponed by the NBA. Jason Tatum, 10 to 14 day quarantine. Celtics got an issue. Sixers got an issue. When I go and look at the standings, the top of the East is 7-3, Celtics and Sixers. So that'll be interesting to see how they're coming out of this. I know Tyrese Maxey gets 39 points, which is incredible for me, a guy that had Tyrese Maxey as being a guy that could pop off. But here's the deal, bro. It's not as true. And I heard this from I'm listening to Jay's stream, and I'm doing a couple of the NBA topics off of this today. He was giving the triple-double a little bit of disrespect last night. I needed to get your take on this. Is the triple-double not as much, in your opinion, like as good? Like, in my opinion, a triple-double, regardless of when, what era, or what situation, like, if you're getting a triple-double, like, that's a good game. And I know that it's... He's shitting on Russ probably because he gets him every game, and he's also was saying that in his take a little bit. But I would still say that you see guys get triple-doubles that come out of nowhere. You go and look at some of the – I was watching the stream. It was great, but I'm just trying to get your take. Do you think the triple-double is a little bit devalued now because guys are getting them way more?
I think it requires more context, like who the player is. So the triple-double on the surface is a valuable thing to me. Like if you say, like, for example, Julius Randle, a good player to start with. Like Julius Randle getting triple-doubles is an extremely valuable thing to look at because he's a power forward, the team's best player, and impacting three different huge areas of the game. He's playmaking for them, grabbing the boards, and doing a lot of scoring. That's extremely important. Now the issue becomes, like, when you go to like Russell Westbrook or someone like that, is it almost becomes like an argument point for him, where like the triple doubles he's putting up are impressive. They're not any less impressive just because he keeps putting them up. The problem is you can't use the triple doubles for someone that great as the reason for why they're that great, because after a while it starts to become like with you with Harden, something like that. Like, I'm not saying you're doing this, but like, I know you've done it with Harden. Like, okay, and it's a fair argument. Like, okay, yeah, he can put up 37 points a game. Then what? Like, no one's saying the 37 isn't impressive. It just gets to the point of, like, once you show us, like, okay, I can keep doing it, the next question becomes, like, great, can you do it and keep winning while you're doing it?
No, I agree. But I think the only reason he's bringing this up, though, is because they're not winning games. I think that's the thing. And I don't know what the fuck's going on with the Wizards, but they lost Thomas Bryant to an ACL for the year. That's not going to help. Bradley Beal's out because of contract tracing with Jason Tatum, which I think is crazy by the NBA. I wanted to get your take on that after this segment when I have another question for you. But, I mean, what, like, yeah, the Wizards aren't doing good, but what else, like, what else do you want Russ to do, man? You want him to not go out there and get a triple-double and they'll still lose? Like, they're gonna, they're losing not because of him, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. Like, he's not shooting his greatest, but, like, they're not losing these games because of him getting triple-doubles.
For me, the issue is, like, people bring up the triple-doubles where they don't even need to be brought up. It becomes, like, the thing to talk about because it's a flashy stat to look at where it's, like, it's not even related to me. Russell Westbrook getting triple-doubles, what he does is impressive. But, like, the problem is people use it as a reason to bash him and use it as a reason to support why he's so great. And it's, like, no. It's great that he puts up triple-doubles, but getting triple-doubles isn't the reason that you're great. And you also can't just knock him for getting triple-doubles because it's like he's literally doing everything.
He's just playing basketball.
I'm with you on this. It's just like, for me, the triple-doubles are almost a dumb argument. Yes, they're impressive, but don't raise a guy up or knock a guy down because of triple-doubles.
Well, my whole thing that got me like fired up about this is because I saw like, it was like, I'm pretty sure it was Oscar Robertson or like, I'm pretty sure it was him. He was in an interview on NBA TV I was watching. He was like, he didn't even know he was putting up triple-doubles. Like, he didn't even care. Like, back then, some of those players didn't even care, and they were doing something incredible. Like, so now that we all know and we track it and it's all cool, like, it's a big deal. But, like, dude, it's still just as incredible. Then, now, going into the future, like, the triple-double is incredible. If you can do it in a basketball game, regardless at what level, in my opinion, also. Incredible stat line.
You just need context for it, too, because, like, triple-doubles do become dumb if you try and, like, I know you're not saying this, but if you tried to say, like, oh, well, like, Magic Johnson wasn't getting triple-doubles, but Russell Westbrook was, it's like, yeah, Magic Johnson, the teams were scoring, like, 75 points at the end of the game, 80 points. There are double the points scored now, meaning double the rebounds, double the assists, double the points. Like, so you can't use it to knock old people. That's dumb. Because it was way harder to get a triple-double back in the day with a way slower pace of game, way less shots. But, like, to knock Russell Westbrook for getting triple-doubles is dumb. Like, I'm with you. Like, there's not much more he can be doing. He could be a better positional defender, but he's not under average. He's about average positional defender. Like, the problem is the Wizards team. It's not Russell Westbrook or Bradley Beal.
I did have a better topic to get into, but this is a funnier transition. LaMelo Ball and his triple-double. The youngest ever player to do so, 19 years and 140 days old, becomes the youngest player to do so. I think he had 22, 11, and 12 on like 9 shots too, by the way, which was like pretty incredible. 22 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. Dude, he's been balling. I've been taking him a lot in DraftKings, just in like the tier. He put up like 60 something for me. So I got to give you a shout out for that. He's looking to me like if he keeps playing like this, like it's his rookie of the year to lose. Like who else is looking as good at him as a rookie right now? To be completely honest, Patrick Williams is the only one that's getting as much minutes as him, and he's not looking near.
I would go. My only close one would even
be like Anthony Edwards,
Halliburton, but he's missed a few games.
Yeah,
Halliburton's been really good for the Kings.
Yep. For sure, but like you get what I'm saying, so I just wanted to.
No, it's his reward to lose right now. I really don't see like Obi Toppin's been out. He was a lot of people's favorite.
Where are the Hornets at right now? Like they're in the playoffs. They got to be top eight. They're above 500, I believe.
They are. Let's see. They are the nines. Oh, they're tied for the 8th seed with the Cavs. They're both 500.
Word. Which is, like, crazy to me, because I did not expect them to be good.
Oh, actually, no, sorry. There's a bunch of teams that are, so they're all tied. So the Knicks, the Heat, the Cavs, and the Hornets are all 500, tied for 6, so.
Bro, Knicks skidding hard. Aren't they playing the Hornets tonight? So, big game?
Yeah, Knicks.
Let's talk about that for a second. Who do you got in that game tonight? Because I was saying last night, you're in a blowout. You're an absolute blowout. You still got your starters in. When you have a back-to-back, you're trying to win games. Like, we talked about it a little bit, but, like, I saw a tweet from Jay, and I'm like, dude, yeah, why are those guys in the game? And I'm checking my DraftKings, and, like, those guys are, like, in the game. They're down by, like, 30 in the fourth quarter, and Tibbs is just running them. They got a back-to-back tonight in a game in which they're tied with in the standings with. I don't know what he's thinking. Like, get some of those younger guys some burn.
That's the Tibbs philosophy, for better or worse. Like, and the crazy thing is, that was him resting guys. Usually Julius Randle plays 44, 45 minutes. He played 38 because it was a blowout, which is still, like, most people's, like, absolute max for minutes, 38. Yeah, it's been too tough. It's been two tough games. I mean, the Nuggets are just the far better team. Like, things even out. Like, percentages, records, win percentage, everything early in the season is unrealistic. You have guys shooting, like, 75%, teams winning way more than they will. The Nuggets have been too cold. The Knicks have been too hot. Things just kind of even out. The Knicks had a tough game against the Jazz, too. Tonight's going to be tough. I mean, the Hornets are not on a back-to-back, and the Knicks are, and the Knicks are coming off two tough losses. The one benefit of the doubt, I mean, I'm going to pick the Knicks as a Knicks fan. The one benefit of the doubt I'll give them is they had two bad games, but the team's fighting more than they have in past years. So, like, in past years, coming off a back-to-back and two bad losses, I would never pick them to win. I'm not going to count this team out of every game. Like, they didn't even look bad in the first half of last night. The Nuggets just looked a lot better. I also think, not that they're coming back tonight, obviously getting Obi Toppin back will be nice, but Alec Burks coming back will be huge for them. He has one of the highest usage rates on the team when he's in, shooting really well. So I think the Knicks will be fine, but they're going to come back to earth a little bit. They've been a little too good to start the year.
Yeah, I think they're going to still win more games than we're going to give credit for them for. And I'm going to go back to that site before it's all said and done here and see what's good, because I had them above that for sure. So I just need to give a shout-out to Tyrese Maxey quick, and then I'll get you out of here on this last topic. He finished with 33 shot attempts, zero free throw attempts. In that game, he scored 39. That's tied for the most shot attempts without taking a free throw in a game over the last 15 years. Maxey is the first 76er with at least 35 points in a game since Allen Iverson in 1997. Incredible, right? Like, he has an incredible stat line, an incredible game, 39 points, 18 and 33 field goals, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, team high, 2 steals. He only had 2 turnovers. Like, he had an incredible game. They lost the game. They had only 7 active players in the game, did the 76ers, because of contract tracing, because of COVID, because of all the stuff going on. Their lineup was Tyrese Maxey at shooting guard, Isaiah Joe, Dakota Mathias, Danny Green, and Dwight Howard, who Doc joked about was going to play point guard. He didn't, but I thought that would have been hilarious. He did. He should have just thrown him out there. You know, to me, that's what the NBA is asking for. If you're gonna have him play this game, and it was a joke, but he said it with a straight face. Like, I honestly thought he was gonna let him run out there at point guard for a little bit, but he didn't. But he probably should have. I got to give a shout out to Dwight Howard. I think he is now 13th or 14th in career rebounds.
While we've been on here, the Mavs game tonight has been postponed. The Mavs versus the Pelicans.
Perfect.
And the Celtics Bulls tomorrow has been postponed.
Perfect. So here's my thing that I had to pretty much ask you, Rich. I think it's getting out of control pretty quick. I was hearing Jay last night talk about in his stream, what is going to be the perception of the NBA, the NFL, just the athletes in general, getting them the vaccine? I don't think it's crazy to think that the NBA wouldn't benefit from them players getting this vaccine for them to be able to continue on with their season with what I've seen go on the last week. I mean, you just named it right there off of breaking news. I would have been able to cover it. I'll probably be able to cover it after you go. But, like, that's insane, man. I'm starting to get a little bit worried just because Brad Beal gets sent out because of contract chasing with Jason Tatum, and I saw a funny tweet. I'm like, bro, aren't the whole fucking team on contract chasing with Jason Tatum? Like, he just played the whole game. And it sounds like a joke, but, like, bro, like, we expected this, or at least I expected this to happen, not this bad. I did not expect it to get this bad, but this is pretty bad, Rich. And the fact that it's this bad almost seems to me, and the NBA has come out and said they have no plans of, like, putting a pause on the season, but, like, bro, when you're postponing 3-4 games a night, I know they're trying to have multiple games a night, bro, that's not good. I mean, what's the deal?
What are the optics
for you with NBA players getting a vaccine? I need your take on that real quick.
I have no problem with it as long as frontline healthcare workers have it, or, like, healthcare workers that need it have it. I mean, it's going to need to be distributed to other people in some way or form, and it's not just going to be like, oh, we have billions for everyone now. Like, someone's going to need to get it before someone else, after the healthcare workers. And, like, yeah, sure, it'd be great for regular normal people to have it, but at the end of the day, like, however you want to put it, athletes are a little bit more important than regular normal everyday people because of the amount of income they have on their sport, the amount of regular people that are watching their sports. Like, for me, as long as the people that are being exposed to the virus regularly and are treating it have all gotten the virus and you're not taking away from those people, I don't see why there's any issue with prioritizing sports leagues or things that generate revenue before just your average person.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, but I think that's also the knock on this. And I think I was listening to Jay basically, and my take on it is this. Like, if it's affecting, what, 50 and above, like, all right, let's just get it to all them, 50 and above first, and all the healthcare and all them, essential, get it to all them first, and then why not athletes? Like, bro, like, I don't need it before an athlete. I would rather watch an athlete have it than somebody like me or like whatever. Like, there's a lot of people that probably aren't even going to want this shit. And like, if the NBA can have it and the athletes can have it in order for them to have sports at a normal rate, then why not? And it probably seems like an optical thing, but like, bro, they're always trying to get the economy and the money back up and going. And it's like, to me, it's good to see fans up in the stands. Like, I know it's limited amounts, but like, fans up in the stands, like, sports kind of getting that vibe back, even with everything still being sketchy. Like, it's still good to me. Like, I went bowling last night with Chu. We talked about it a little bit. Bro, I'm not going to lie. When Chu hit me up about it, I wouldn't be lying if I said, yo, I'm absolutely, like, kind of bugged out at first. Like, what the fuck, bro? I'm not trying to do that. But I've gotten to this point where I'm not going to get it from touching shit, bro. Like, if I'm touching mad shit, like, if I just can wash my hands or sanitize my hands before touching my face or eating, I'm not really that scared. Like, as long as I'm not around people that are sick. And you think, like, oh, we pulled up at the bowling alley, it'd be sketchy as shit, mad people. Bro, I swear to God, there was two cars in the parking lot. It was mine and one other car. I'm like, bro, is this place even open? We go in there, bro, there was like two other parties in there, and they have two spaces in between each alley. Like, people are doing shit safe with protocols to be trying to still have a business. And you can't knock that. Like, it's the same thing in sports for me. But I am a little bit worried about the NBA, Rich. I know you got to go, but just based on what we've seen with the NBA, just get out of here on this. Like, how is this going to work, man? You've seen teams going out there, like I mentioned, 7 active players. Like, good for Tyrese Maxey. I think it's incredible. I was high on him. He's going to be a great player for them. But he would have never gotten those stats and broken that Allen Iverson record if all their players were there. So it's like, to me, it becomes a little faulty when, like, everything's going on. So it's like,
it does.
I don't know. It's the same argument with me, the triple-double.
Yeah, I got to head out here on this, but, I mean, it's this will be the season. We could talk about it another time. We're like, for me, there was no reason to have an asterisk last year. And, like, we'll see when it's all said and done this year. But if there is an asterisk any year, it's going to be this year, not last year. Last year, they finished it fine. Like, yeah, they played a few less games, but, like, there were no key guys missing and stuff. This year, like, you might end up playing I already closed out the standings right now, but because of, like, what if the Celtics, like, have guys out for a while and end up being, like, the 8th seed? Yeah. And you're, like, the 76ers stay at the 1, and you're, like, why are we playing an 8 seed Celtics? What the fuck is that? Like, so it's just going to be, like, and at the end of the day, sports are always random, and it is what it is. So that's been my counter-argument where, like, it's hard to asterisk stuff, but this is going to be the year, like you said, like, records-wise with, like, stuff being broken and, like, just weird games, not having enough guys, like, come the playoffs, like, are teams out that shouldn't have been out, like, are there weird matchups? Like, there's going to be a lot of weird stuff this year, so it's going to be tough. The last thing I'll say is there's no way they could bubble before the playoffs. There's no possible way they can, so they might have to take a break, even if they don't want to. Like, I've seen people talking about, like, oh, a bubble. Like, they had months to plan the last bubble, and they got to leave 8 of the teams at home, and were kicking teams out, like, weekly as the playoffs started, limiting it down. They cannot put together a bubble, bring 30 teams there, and keep them there during a regular season. And even if they could put that together, there's zero chance players would agree to that for, like, extended months and then into the playoffs. So I think they might have to take a break at some point. I got to head out on that, but it's going to be interesting. And I think the asterisks on this year will be, I don't want to start talking it yet because it's so early, and I don't want to, like, put an asterisk on a season. But, like, if you're ever going to talk about it, like, this is the year that's going to be, like, way different, I feel like.
See, bro, that's all right. I'm glad you left me out with a hot take and you got to go, because that's the thing for me with last year. Like, it's the same argument for last year, though. Like, you had a situation where, like, I guess you didn't have mad players out all the time because they were in the bubble, but it was still, like, abnormal in the situation with some players and some teams. So, like, I don't know.
I'm by no means putting an asterisk on this year. I'm just saying, like, at the rate we're going with how weird things are, like, this could be the year that gets.
I hear you, but I think Jay made a good point before you go. I just want to say this. Like, if they start postponing mad games, you got to play mad less games. Like, the winning percentage, like, they might just have to have it based on, like, 60 games, and then maybe that's how you fix the standings a little bit. Like, there's ways the NBA is probably going to, you know, the NBA, they're not just going to let it be, like, fucked up like that. There's going to be things that they have to change for sure. All right, hopefully we catch up later this week, man.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later.
All right, peace.
Peace, bro.
Richie, hot takes. I got to take a quick break. I'll come back, do my, I got some reads, do a little solo, be out, be right back on the Seggy Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Seggy Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out the rescue method to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in a household but a loving companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, and nursery. Save their life and it just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Jim Harbaugh signs a 4-year extension to stay at the University of Michigan. His extension will keep him through the 2025 season. 1-6 in bowl games, 44-29 record with the team, 0-5 against Ohio State. Interested to see him go back for a lower base salary with built-in incentives. But Jim Harbaugh back at Michigan. Cowboys fire defense coordinator Mike Nolan, also firing defensive line coach Jim Tonsula. 473 points allowed, were the most allowed in franchise history for the Cowboys. Dallas Stars to keep it in the NHL, which will start their season this week, January 13th. Dallas Stars won't start their season until January 19th due to at least 5 players in COVID protocols. Talked about the NBA, Seth Curry for the 76ers sparked an outbreak in which they had obviously a bunch of players out. Jason Tatum, talked about him a bit. Michael Porter Jr., Kevin Durant coming back off quarantine. Rich talked about all the games being postponed in the segment today. PGA moves the 2022 championship slated to be at the Trump Course. Not good to see what's happening from that guy Trump. You know, during a police funeral, what you inspired last week at the Capitol, Trump is out here writing up some presidential medal of freedom for Bill Belichick. Be interesting to see if Mr. Belichick even considers accepting that award during these times. Talked about it a little bit. Thomas Bryant, Wizards, big man, torn ACL, done for the year. Bogdan Bogdanovic, big offseason controversy. Now with the Hawks, has a fracture in his right leg. To be determined this upcoming week what his status will be. Juju Smith-Schuster, quote, "You know, I don't regret what I said. I said the Browns is the Browns. They came out and they played a hell of a game," end quote. Interesting to see Juju Smith-Schuster. Doug Peterson's status as Eagles head coach is not firm. Sources tell Tim McManaman and Chris Mortensen as Larry's concerned extend well beyond Carson Wentz, per source. Falcons owner Arthur Blank confirms Julio Jones and Matt Ryan could be traded this offseason. As talked about a little bit, week 3 NBA in review, 76ers and Celtics top of the East 7-3, Lakers with a 2-game win streak 8-3, the top of the Western Conference with the Suns sitting not too far behind with a current record of 7-3. Finally, Urban Meyer has reportedly began to assemble a staff, quote, in case he decides to return to coaching. A lot of speculation. He will be the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tune back in. Nick Seguin here. You listen to the Seggy Station podcast. Do a little solo rip here on the way out. Appreciate all the love and support. As always, give me a follow on my Instagram page, my Twitter page, at Seggy Station. Follow along my live stream version of the podcast on my Twitch. It's _Seggy_G. Got the podcast out on Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Anchor. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Let's see. Glad Rich made it by today. Mad fun. Hopefully Chewy makes it by soon. I know he's a little mad at me. I took him out in bowling yesterday, so he'll hopefully get over that soon and make it back. Didn't need to touch on this. I know Chewy will have something to say about this when he does return. Chew, was very upset with Deshaun Watson yesterday. Deshaun Watson pretty much playing hardball, demanding a trade. The situation now, a lot of reports of him potentially wanting to get into the Dolphins situation for Tua and some picks, obviously, because it's going to take a lot of compensation to do so. Deshaun Watson advocated for Texans to hire offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, in which they didn't even interview him and didn't really leave him into any of the conversations in hiring Nick Caserio. And I mind you, Deshaun Watson had 4,823 passing yards, which ranked first in the NFL, a 112.4 QB rating, which ranks second, 70.2 completion percentage, and 8.9 yards attempt, which ranked first in the NFL. His 70.2 completion percentage ranked third. He had a man in Will Fuller who was out for the last five games due to PED suspension, traded away not only his number one wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, but their coach was fired four games into the year due to a lot of his mistakes. And in my opinion, Deshaun Watson probably made a mistake into signing this contract, but he has all rights. We see athletes nowadays to be forcing their way out of situations. And we've seen it not only in the NBA, but particularly now in situations in the NFL. And it seems to be a little bit harder to get done in the NFL, but we're seeing it happening. And I think it's pretty funny how they're saying, well, they're reaching out to Deshaun Watson as in off front office and management, and they can't get a hold of him. Well, I've been seeing Deshaun Watson posting Instagrams, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, maybe he doesn't have cell service. He's off vacation. And well, he has enough cell service to be posting Instagrams. I assume he's getting his messages. I think he's trying to send a message here. I think Deshaun Watson is going to play hardball enough that where he wants out of the Houston Texans organization. And if I'm Chu, if I'm any of these organizations that are looking for a quarterback, because I got question marks surrounding mine, including the New York Giants, by the way, you would want Deshaun Watson in a heartbeat for whatever player and picks it takes. Dude is an elite talent. Be interested to argue that out a little bit with Chu when he comes back. Very interesting story on Deshaun Watson, basically, you know, taking over the off-the-season headlines from teams that particularly aren't in the playoffs. You do have those six remaining openings at head coach with the Chargers, Falcons, Jets, Texans, Lions, Jags. Mentioned Urban Meyer in the read a little bit. Be interesting to see some of those places getting filled and being able to talk a little bit about the organizations going forward. Do want to get Chewy's and particularly Rich's as well rankings on those vacancies, hopefully before they're filled. Do need to give a shout out here quickly to Andrew Whitworth, who played in the game yesterday for the Rams. He's a tremendous left tackle for the Rams. He's 39 years old. And back on November 15th, he tore his MCL and damaged his PCL. And he played in this football game. He played most of all the offensive snaps in this football game, and he blocked just as well as he's always blocked. And to me, that's absolutely incredible. To get out there and to be able to do that in those circumstances, obviously being out, coming back from what could be the season-ending type of injury is crazy good. And I think the Rams are scary. We'll see if they can do anything with the pack, though. Looking forward to getting into the predictions with that. Divisional round weekend is Saturday. You'll have the Rams and Green Bay at 4:35. Baltimore and Buffalo 8:15 playing Saturday night. You'll have Sunday Browns at Chiefs 3:05 and the Bucks at New Orleans 6:40 the Sunday cap. Looking forward to those predictions later in the week. But I do need to touch on some of the coaching decisions yesterday. I mentioned it with Rich quickly. 35-23, 4th-and-6, punt. For the Steelers, Vrabel's punt down one score, fourth quarter, 4th-and-2 with 10 minutes left, to me is absolutely crazy. You see this all the time where coaches not only make decisions that tend to be a little bit overthought in terms of what they think could then potentially backfire. And I just see this too many times where if you're having some momentum and you're trying to win a game, that realistically, if you lose it, there's no tomorrow because you're going home. Like, you probably should play it a little more like Madden. Like, we're seeing it now in the NFL where you're going to go for it on fourth down. I've seen guys go for it on coaches going for it on fourth down and long from some
spots where you're like, what are they doing? But that's just like the way the game is now. And to not go forward in some of those situations, I've been hearing plenty of people talking about it. It just blows my mind. If I'm a fan of those teams, like, I'm absolutely livid when you're out here trying to win a game and this is what happens to some of these teams' fan bases, some of these teams getting bounced because of these coaches. I think you got to question some of their decision making in these primetime situations when it really comes down to the fires. Do we really want this guy going forward? And we'll see if any of these coaches, including Doug Peterson, lose their jobs here over the next coming days. You know, I do need to touch on this too for a second. We talked about it a bunch with Rich, but this guy, Taylor Heinicke, his second NFL start, playoff debut, 8 weeks ago, he's doing virtual classes. He's at 126 career snaps up against Tom Brady's 300 career starts. He's got 30 postseason wins. Joe Montana is next with 16. He's got most playoff appearances as well, no kidding, because he's been there so many times. Like, yeah, he has all these unbelievable statistics, like, no doubt about it. Like, that's what it is because of all the times he's able to been there. But don't you expect him to get that if he's been there that many times, more than any other player? And I saw this, which is very interesting too, the whole, well, he's going to play a team for the third time, there's no way he's going to lose to a team to a third time. Well, he's never played any team three times. They're talking about, oh, well, it's never happened. Well, no kidding. No AFC team has ever made it to the playoffs as a wild card while he was in New England. They're talking about that. Oh, it never happened when he was in college, some of these guys on the ESPN airwaves. When is that? That's not even possible in college. So some of these statistics that people try to use to back Tom Brady in their arguments are, they do act like Swiss cheese. Like, they have holes in them. And I'm not saying he's not a great player. It always comes across as that, but I'm just trying to explain that at some point, do we really want to see Tom Brady go out like Big Ben? Like Phillip Rivers? Like some of these guys? Drew Brees even, that we're seeing going out? Kind of crippling on the way out? Like, I get Tom Brady's playing really nice right now, but, like, is that win up against the Washington football team and Taylor Heinicke and his 126 career snaps, like, is that really that great? I know the defense didn't show up and they had a great defense, something I was certainly wrong about. But if Tom Brady gets knocked this week, like, isn't that going to finally cement where it's like, all right, like, you can't beat Drew Brees, like, who's probably going to retire, like, you're going to be able to breed his replacement? Like, I don't know. I really hope Tom Brady loses. I really do. If he wins, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be so sick. I do think Bama wins in a rout tonight. And I also think it's bullshit that Ohio State isn't even in there. I don't think they should have a chance, to be honest. Let me see if I have anything else I need to cover before I get out of here. But that right there is definitely some bullshit. Here's a crazy fact. The Kansas City Chiefs win their divisional. If they win their divisional game, they will become the first team in history to host three straight AFC championship games. The only team to do so in the NFC was the 2002-2004 Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams were coached by Andy Reid. That is extremely interesting. If that happens, we're going to have to ask the boys what we think of Andy Reid in terms of all-time rankings. If the Browns missed the playoffs, which they didn't, they would have missed the playoffs for the second time since 1999 with 10-plus wins. The Browns had lost 10 straight Week 17 games heading into this past Week 17, in which obviously they won to make the playoffs, snapping that streak. Only the Rams, with 11 straight from 2007 to 17, had posted a longer losing streak. This is incredible for not only Baker Mayfield, who's obviously clouding, having a really great night, Browns fans. Obviously not Bears fans, because nothing they have going on is great. Josh Allen's pretty great. 42 passing TDs, 0 interceptions, 162 straight passing attempts without an interception is the longest active streak in the NFL. 23 rushing touchdowns, most in the NFL by a quarterback since 2018. His career red zone, 42 pass, 0 interceptions. Could have been broken, but still pretty elite. We'll see if he's able to do it up against the Baltimore Ravens. Didn't get to mention it with Chewy the other day, but you have 7 current NFL GM opening jobs, including the Broncos, Panthers, Lions, Texans, Falcons, Jags, Washington football team. Very interesting with Elway stepping down, headed in the Reeds. Be curious to see what my man Chew thinks about that. Most rushing yards this season, Derrick Henry had 2,027, Dalvin Cook had 1,557. Jonathan Taylor, 1,169, which I got another stat on Jonathan Taylor. Aaron Jones, 1,004. Derrick Henry at halftime, 1,076. If Henry had not taken a single carry in the first half this season, or Derrick Henry after halftime is 1,076. If Derrick Henry had not taken a single carry in the first half this season, he would finish fourth in NFL rushing. That's absolutely absurd, but too bad he didn't show up yesterday. Colts got bounced. Phillip Rivers, probably his last game, probably should be in his last, in my opinion, the 04 class. Not having a good day yesterday. But Jonathan Taylor is really good. What did he do on the year? He was, like I said, 1,522 total yards. 1,116, like I think I just mentioned, third in NFL in rushing yards, 13 touchdowns. So the future's looking pretty bright for him. He was kind of off to a slow start. Always trying to look forward to what guys may be doing next year. Curious to see that. Talked about Deshaun Watson a bit. Deshaun Watson finished the season at NFL high, leading 4,823 passing yards, but they were 4-12. He's the first player to lead the NFL in passing yards with 12 plus losses since Jeff George for the 1997 Raiders. He wants out, bro. He wants out. And let me get out of here on this. I genuinely hate this man. He's kind of annoying. But what he's doing right now is genuinely fantastic. Dave Portnoy and the Barstool Fund, they've raised over $18 million to help small local businesses. And he's always doing a FaceTime with the small local business that he's helping, which is obviously incredible and fantastic. And what his situation with his platform is doing during these times is definitely fantastic. You got to give the man a shout out, even though he's kind of off his hump and probably either like him or you hate him. What he's doing with the platform that he has during this time is something that needs to be talked about. I think people don't realize what it's like trying to get something somewhere and always thinking about, oh, what is it going to be or what is it? He talks about how he had started up a small business and, you know, he wants to help people with small business. And to me, small business is similar to starting up a podcast, right? I mean, you're taking a leap. You're obviously not investing as much money, but you're putting yourself out there. You're taking a risk. You're doing all these things. And to see this man helping people out during this time with obviously money that he's not only able to raise, and you see athletes like Aaron Rodgers donating $500,000 and all these ridiculous amounts to the fund, which is great. It's definitely great to see, and it'd be nice to see a little bit more love like that, not only for all people, but for me. Seems a little bit selfish, but kind of true. All right. I'll come back soon and I'll have some some divisional predictions. You know, 4-2 on the week. I was certainly right about the Rams, Ravens, Bills, and Saints. A little bit wrong about the Steelers. A little bit wrong about the Bucks. So we'll see how we do next week. Not a bad track record. Rich 4-2, not as bad. And Chu was pretty solid. He had 4-2, I believe, as well. Picking the Bucks. Had the Seahawks who lost and had the Titans who lost, but had the rest. So all of us 4-2. Pretty fire. Pretty fire start for our NFL game picks, which is good. Much love to the boys for always coming on. Keeping it cool, keeping it fun. Sports conversation is great. Keeps me going, keeps my mind off all the other stuff, keeps me away from having to continue to clean and organize, which has been a task. I do want to hold out hope that if Daniel Jones can get some weapons and a matured offensive line, next year he's going to be Josh Allen. That's my hot take for the day. I saw that Twitch made the decision to remove PogChamp emote following statements from the face of the emote encouraging further violence after what took place in the Capitol today. I don't know what that means. I mean, I use Twitch to broadcast the pod, so I'm happy they got rid of that. Happy the PGA got rid of the tournament at the Trump course. You're seeing this man, Trump, he's gotten banned on everything. TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. I mean, this dude, good. Don't let him have anything because he doesn't even deserve to be able to say anything on any of those sites. And, you know, I thought it was kind of a hot take last week. I don't think it is with what I've been seeing and reading. I mean, this man should legitimately go to jail for what happened to some of those people that lost their lives as that Capitol was breached this past week or two. It was like a week ago. I don't even know. Time goes by so quick, man. It's absolutely crazy. I'll be back to work before I know it. Another year will go by before I know it. I was telling Chu yesterday. We're reminiscing in his room. He's a little tipsy. Probably drunk, but we'll go with tipsy. We used to chill there all the time, man. He's like, bro, that was like 6-7 years ago. It is kind of crazy as I'm sitting in what is the same room, same setup. Not completely. He's got a nice Pac-Man machine that we're ripping. It is wild, man. Time goes by so quick. So many things happen. Good and mostly bad for me, but good and bad. And, you know, you just hope that you can stay positive, right? Keep things going. That's what my man's saying. That's what people are trying to tell me to do. It's easier said than done, but you know, a podcast helps for me. It really does. Hopefully, I can get it growing here a little bit. I'm trying to learn a little bit more about OBS. Hopefully, my man Jay will link up with me soon so I can learn more about that and have a little bit better presentation. I got a couple people that are trying to get on. Made another friend yesterday. Did Chu and I that wants to get on, so should be dope what we got going on over the next couple months here on the Seggy Station. I'm looking forward to doing it. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always, and as always, I still have no shame what I had to say. It's the man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody, peace and love. Stay safe out there. Listen to Seggy Station.